Welcome to Film Forum's podcast. The following event was recorded on August 20th, 2010, live at our theaters located at 209 West Houston Street in Manhattan.
Hello, everyone. Please help me welcome the filmmaker, Yael Hirsansky. Please raise your hand if you have questions, and I'll bring the mic to you.
Hi, wonderful film. Could you describe the process of finding the survivors and integrating them into the film and how it was that they were introduced to the material and things like that?
In Israel, we have, first of all, the Holocaust Museum, Yad Vashem in Jerusalem, holds lists of survivors. Some of them gave testimony to the museum and also their contact details. And also there are organizations of every ghetto has its own survivors that keep in touch one with another. So we started with these lists, and then when we called people, they said, you should call this woman or that man, and then it became just to evolve from there. I talked to dozens and dozens of survivors, and only few could recall such, we should say, a neglected event like filming inside the ghetto. And among those who remembered, not all of them were certain that this is something that they want to do, to watch footage. So what I decided is that, first of all, I'm not going to try and convince anyone to do it, because I didn't want to be the one who's making them suffer again. And those who hesitated, I decided not to let them even to continue and hesitate, and just told them that I prefer they won't come. I was waiting for them to ask me to show them the footage, in a way. And it was even a matter of, if no one will agree, we won't do it. Five of them insisted on watching the footage. They really felt it's urgent for them, as their own personal task, to have the final word over these images, because it's incredible to think that some of these images outside the frame, few meters away, they were there hiding from the film crew, and after more than 7 years, they had the opportunity to see it in through such a different perspective. So it was extremely important for them. I also took advantage of the fact that we could stop after every reel to ask them if they really wish to continue. And all of them, after the first reel, all of them said that they wish to see it till the very last frame. So for me, it was also a relief that I could work, not feeling that it's only my own interest to make a film here, but also we're sharing something, and to be a witness of this very emotional situation was something quite powerful for me.
I know you said that they wanted to see all the reels of film. Did you also show them the color film? Because personally, when I saw the color film, it created an even more significant impact, and I wondered if they saw that and did they notice the same thing?
No, they I could not show it to them. I showed them only the main film, and that's because we had a 35 millimeter copy in Jerusalem that was given to the Holocaust Memorial Museum by the German Film Archive. And I knew that I'm not going, many times this is what we do in documentaries, we somehow miss the shot that we were imagining for days and days, and we come to the place of the of the scene and it doesn't happen, and then we try to do it again. This time I knew that I'm not going to do it again. I'm not going to invite them again to watch it because I didn't succeed to create something that I imagined. So I knew I have just one chance with every one of the survivors, and therefore I screened only what I had without complicating the situation. Just and also it was important for me to screen it on the big screen when they were isolated inside the darkness of the theater, because I wanted to intensify a situation that I decided is going to happen only once, one time.
Just on the last thing that you said, did each of the survivors see it alone? Okay, I just wanted... Yeah, I'm curious, how did you originally get involved in the project? How did you hear about the film, or the existence of the film, and how that whole process took place?
Before I even knew about this footage, I had the feeling that these images were not used as important visual documents, but more as illustrations or even visual backgrounds for so many different stories. Images from this film were used to describe a ghetto or occupied Poland or even Jewish community life inside the ghetto. Strange as it may sound, these images were used to show facts that they were not documenting, and therefore, and also because I thought about a time which is the very near future when no witness will be left to remember, and these images are going to survive in the archives silently. I mean, they don't have the narration. It was an unfinished film, so it remains open for interpretation. And I felt that the time has come to start and understand what is the nature of these images, how they were made, and what exactly do they document. Because only when we become specific about the content of every image, only then we can start work and use a term like history. I mean, what is history? History is not just in textbooks. History is also when someone who's no longer here looking directly into the lens of the camera. I mean, it's the most evident, for me, emotional moment and real, extreme real moment in this propaganda film. I mean, it's very easy to peel off the propaganda making and then to start, and as if in an archaeological act, to start and excavate the layers of reality that lie beneath the superficial one. Then I wrote a kind of an essay about my interest in this kind of exploration of the testimonial value of these images. And I approached one of the Israeli producers that just finished a vast archival project for the Yad Vashem Holocaust Memorial Museum. So she knew more or less whatever existed inside film archives. And she gave me a couple of footage I should see, and she called it the basic list. And this film was certainly part of it because it's very well known among film archivists. I mean, it's one of the most used footage by filmmakers and museums. But what is extraordinary for me is to realize that the scene in which we see the naked women descend into the ritual bath, I saw it before I knew this footage inside a Polish museum, titled under Jewish Ritual Life Inside the Ghetto. Now, and this is a memorial museum, it's not something else. And under that title, I could not realize how terrified, how terrorized were these women. And it's the same image. When I saw it again in the context of the full 62-minute sequence, I could not believe that I actually didn't see what was going on with these women, that they were having a kind of anxiety attack. They were kidnapped on the street, forced to undress, were surrounded by uniformed men pointing cameras at them. But when you don't realize that, you can't see. So that's exactly the difference between watching something and actually be able to see what it.
It's amazing. You actually just mentioned the repetition of the footage. I actually saw in that footage frame by frame images from Roman Polanski's The Pianist that have been recreated in that film. My question to you is...
I don't see you. Could you just...
Hi.
Oh, hi. Okay.
If I understand correctly, the MPAA fought you on making this accessible to young people and gave this an R rating. What was their reasoning for that?
The official reason was images of nudity and images of Holocaust atrocities. But the distributors decided to go unrated, so this is a decision right now.
The people that were in the movie, did they tell you how they escaped from being sent to Treblinka?
Well, each one has his own story, and the man, for example, who actually died during the previous year, he was spending 11 months inside an open grave. And so when you start start to hear these stories, I made a difficult decision here not to tell the whole story of these people, because I was trying to focusing on something. It was quite urgent for me to be focusing on the footage, on the filming, and on this surreal event of making, turning the Warsaw Ghetto into a film set, and the way we perceive our own history through these images. And I knew that if I'm going to tell all the stories, I wouldn't be able to finish the film. So that was a decision we had to take.
Okay, one more question.
Was the film ever shown as a propaganda film, or was the project abandoned?
We don't have any proof that it was shown. Personally, I think it was not shown. I think it was just not completed. It's maybe the most mysterious question, why it was not completed. It's such an expensive production and such an effort to make. I mean, they concentrated all the propaganda film crews that were in occupied Poland into the inside the ghetto to make this film for 30 days. I mean, one can shoot a fiction film during this time. So we just don't know why they left it unfinished. We know that they did recorded a soundtrack, but it was either lost or destroyed. So and we don't know even if they plan to show it in theaters, because the Nazi Minister of Propaganda, Joseph Goebbels, wrote in his diary 4 days before the filming began that now, when they have decided to move the Jews to the East, it's important for them, I should say, he wrote, it's urgent for them to make films, as many as possible, for the education of the future generations of the Third Reich. Meaning, maybe they try to use it as an educational film later on, and to create something that will be completely decontextualized from what it was. Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to Film Forum's podcast. Visit us online at filmforum.org, where you can learn more about our films, memberships, subscribe to our free weekly e-newsletter, and to find out the ways you can support our nonprofit cinema. And if you have the time, please visit our iTunes page and leave a rating and review of our podcasts. Copyright to this program belongs to The Moving Image Incorporated.